Town Discovery Day for the Service District to order. Can I have the roll call, please?
President Steele? Not here. Vice President Keyes?
Here.
Director Gray?
Here.
Director Lee?
Here.
Director Simon?
Here.
At this point, we have a public comment. There's no public in the room, so we'll close public comment. And we'll go to legal counsel to give us a special session.
The Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors will adjourn into closed session as identified on the agenda under item D1 and D2.
Good evening and welcome to the regular Board of Directors meeting of the Town of Discovery Bay.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to interrupt you. We need to come out of the closed session. We're still finishing up the special meeting.
I will turn it over to counsel.
Thank you. Returning from closed session to the special meeting, there is no reportable action. Mr. Chair, you can adjourn the special meeting and resume with the regular meeting.
I just want to note that I was in the meeting, the special meeting. At this time, we will go back into our general meeting. If you all rise with me, we will pledge allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
President Steele?
Here.
Vice President Keyes?
Here.
Director Gray?
Here.
Director Lee?
Here.
Director Simon?
Here.
Thank you very much. At this time, we'll have public comment. The public may comment on any item on the agenda that is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter. Any clarifying questions from the board must go through the chair. Do we have any public comment? No public comment. We'll close public comment. At this time, we'll move on to item C, open session. So we have that disclosure. Counsel? Anything? No?
I think you're on the special agenda. Flip the page one and you got public comments and area agency reports, yeah. ISC.
Sheriff's Office, please.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. How are you?
We're hanging in there. Last month, we had 426 calls
Tony,
for service.
Tony?
What's on that side?
No, right here.
Mike, right there.
You guys are over there.
I'm addressing the board.
We had 426 calls for service with approximately 47 police reports taken last month. Just glancing over this, identity theft seems to be a bit of a bad five up from last month. I know that they've been saying it for the last few months. It seems to be a problem. So if you can check your credit, please. That's how we're starting to talk. People are doing a loan or anything like that, and they start to find stuff coming in. We're talking about credit cards being opened up at Macy's and different areas of the state. So be prepared for that if you find it. Other than that, we had some vandalism. As you can see, it kind of sticks out a little bit too, but mainly those vandalisms were all caused by the people that knew each other, lived in each other's house, or whatever the case may be, and there was a separation, and for some reason, they just like to break each other's things and stuff like that. So, and we did have one egg throwing, so. Other than that, is there any particular questions you see there that you guys might have a question for me for?
Well, Monterey Brook was interesting. That was the next door to me. That was a beauty.
The residential birds, two of them were left open, unlocked. One was forced entry on the side door. There's a side door on that. Other than that, pretty good. All right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, bud.
California Highway Patrol, please.
Good evening, Board. Officer Thomas and I patrol. Last month for the September stats, we had 47 citations issued in the area, 37 were speed-related citations, and the other ones were registration or turning out of lane or something like that. We had 4 DUI arrests in the area and 6 collisions, 2 more injury collisions, 1 minor, 1 moderate injury collision. And then last week we had the bicycle was right here. I saw him back in the area, so. I had some complaints, and I'm working on getting the radar trailer up over on Pixel Road between Highway 4 and Meyer out there. And then also had some complaints. I talked to the school appointed timber here. When school starts up, I'm going to get my partner who works West County. We're going to try to get here in a day or two in the morning and kind of educate people about some issues that are going on there. So, you guys have anything for me? Any questions?
Yes. What's the status on the investigation of the bicyclist that was hit and killed on Labor Day weekend on Balfour?
On Balfour?
Yes.
Officer Ambler is handling that, and that should probably be completed, I think, next week. I've got some, I did the inspection on the vehicle, so I got to give him that report. And then he's just kind of loose ends, so next week we should be there.
Thank you. East Contra Costa Fire Protection District, please.
Thank you, Ward. Hugh Henderson, Fire Chief, East Contra Costa. Month of September, there were 550 calls in the district. Average response time was 7 minutes and 50 seconds. In the Discovery Bay Byron area, there were a total of 6 calls with an average response time of 9 minutes and 42 seconds. Your total rollouts for the engine out of Discovery Bay, they responded to 106 calls total out of 673. Last month, they talked a little bit about the changes that we were doing in Ottawa with Contra Costa Fire to try to balance out our reliance on Ottawa, and you'll see on the page 3 of the report that Contra Costa Fire assisted us 19 times. Last month, we assisted them 16 times. Still a little bit of an imbalance between engines. They sent us a total of 25 engines compared to our 19 engines, but it's kind of balanced things out a little bit. Looking at major incidents for the month of September, there were a total of 6 structure fires, 5 vegetation fires, 28 vehicle accidents, and 12 vehicle accidents involving rescuers and pickup extrication. The district did not have to use mutual aid resources in the month of September. We continue to staff with a total of 31 fire suppression personnel and are working our two stations. Bill, any questions?
I have one. On the vehicle accidents, vehicle accident rescue. How many of those did Station 59 put out of?
I'd have to get back to you on that information. I don't have that, and we'd have to search that out 5 minutes. But I'd be happy to get something back through your general manager back to you guys.
I just wanted to verify my gut instinct that Station 59 handles more of those than other stations. I don't know if that's true or not. So, that would speak for itself.
Well, we send auto accidents with rescuers 2 engines. So, if anything in the from the center of the district to the southeast, 59 is going to be part of that. If it's in the center of district and towards Oakley or Bethel Island, it's going to be the other 2 engines.
Well, I guess I would be the first call, first engine.
Pretty much Sellers Avenue to the east and running the Vasco corridor. This engine 59 is the first engine out on the support of
the license. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
When I see you next week.
Supervisor Mary Pupo's office.
Supervisor Pico just wanted me to relay to you in the community that the Delta Stewardship Council, which you're a board member on, is hosting a public meeting on Delta Levy's investment strategy project, and that's going to be on Monday, October 12th from 9 to 1 in Sacramento. And the purpose of this meeting is to demonstrate the draft decision support tool that is part of the Delta Levy's investment strategy project. If you want more information, have their website. But other than that, I'm just going to take that information.
questions?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right, moving on to committee liaison reports, transit plan report.
Dwayne Steele, Contra Costa County Planning Commission, and I'll be reporting on both transit plan and county planning commission. As far as anything in transit plan of concern for Discovery Bay, thanks should go to Jamar Stamps and Mary Pifo for assisting in instigating the final 2,000 feet of the approach to the Old River Bridge that had been left incomplete for an extended period of time, and we leveraged a bunch of pressure onto Caltrans. It got on the agenda, and if you've noticed, going to Stockton, it's now complete and straight. So that, other than that, we're still on our Measure J funds that are spread across the Far East County, and delivering those funds, the projects that are going on, the 239 project will affect us in the future. On the County Planning Commission, if I can move on to that report. We had, on the 15th of September, we had a Delta Coves project out in Bethel Island, which is kind of near to us. It's similar to the Discovery Bay in that they have coves. It's very small, though. It's only 66 units, condos on the water. It does include commercial buildings. It was continued forward to be heard in the middle of October. That meeting's been canceled, so I'm sure it'll be rescheduled for November. There was a lot of opposition to it with the residents that are close to it, but it's a project that back in the late 90s had a lot of legal issues. The county was sued and forced to accept the project as it was originally designed. The developer went bankrupt, the new developer has taken over, and that project is on its way to moving along. I would expect that we will see it and move it along to the Board of Supervisors. We also heard on the 21st of July what has become the final representation of Pantages. We approved it as it was redesigned and moved it forward to the Board of Supervisors. The Board of Supervisors heard it on the 6th of October. I still have not seen what the final resolve was at because it was only yesterday. The difference, just so that you're aware, is the initial approval in December of 2003, the Board of Supervisors approved the Pantages project with 116 waterfront lots, 176 off water. They were going to be widening Kellogg Creek, adding a Sheriff's Marine Patrol Station, a public trail through the open space there. The project has changed a little bit in that all of the features are still there, with the exception that there's been a change to the quantity of, we now have 105 on water and 187 off water and one less bay than we had before. The original design, in my opinion, was really nice the way it was. I live in Lakeshore, so we were right next door to it. The entry was just an awesome way to come in. They have since reconfigured that. It's not as ostentatious as it was. It presents a little different, but they needed to reconfigure it after Army Corps of Engineers and some other issues came up. So the project still looks really good from what I hear. Now that the Board of Supervisors has it, if it was approved without issue, they should be turning dirt in the middle of 2016. Okay. And I think that was it. Questions?
They did approve it yesterday. John Warren called me this morning.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Any code enforcement? Any special districts report? All right, I'll move on to item E, emergency preparedness presentation.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. As Russ Patterson, our emergency operations consultant, works his way to the podium, the staff went through a fairly extensive training with him about a month or so ago to make sure that the town is compliant with not only state of California, but also federal regulations regarding FEMA and Office of Emergency Services. So what we're doing this evening is as part of that education process in order to ensure that we become compliant so that if there is a disaster, if the El Nino hits and we have heavy rains and have damage, that we would be eligible for some state and federal funding through reimbursement through those different agencies. So Russ is gonna go ahead and start the presentation, and this is a presentation specifically for elected officials. So Russ, thank you for coming.
Thank you very much. All right, I have to preface this. I did this presentation a month and a half, 2 months ago, to the Lake County Board of Supervisors in a similar setting. 3 weeks later, they had the Rocky Fire. 6 weeks later, they had the most costly fire in the state of California this year. So let's hope nothing happens in the county of Discovery Bay. So Discovery Bay, being a special services district, is like any other city. And therefore, you are required to notify what cities go through for emergency management using the system called the Standardized Emergency Management System, SIMS. I've worked in, again, I'm a retired captain from the Campbell Police Department, and I got to, I was the emergency manager, so when I retired, I kind of got into this. I currently teach with the State Office of Emergency Services and do a lot of training and a lot of planning, especially for special districts. They're my specialty, and I've done a lot of work currently writing the plan for the city of Concord, Central Sand over on the west side of the county, wrote their emergency plan, and do a lot of work in Contra Costa County, so I know the county and I know what you folks do. Conversely, my specialty is water. I work plans for a small little water company called California Water Service Company, the largest water service company west of the Mississippi. So I know what you guys do, so it makes it a lot easier. So if you have any questions, please let me know and I should be able to answer. So again, we have SIMS, Standardized Emergency Management System. This came about from the East Bay Hills Fire. Using what's called the Emergency Operations Centers. The fire aspect using incident command system worked great, but at the government level didn't work so good. Senator Petras's house burned down, but we now have new laws related to emergency management. Part of the SIMS process we have is interagency communication, mutual aid, whether it be districts or cities or counties working with each other. That's a great thing to do. We also bring in the private sector as well. So we're all one big happy family when it comes to emergency management, and you folks are part of that happy family. The other big part is recovery. What happens when something breaks? What happens when the levees go? What happens when you have infrastructure damage? And clearly this system helps us get that money from the state and the federal government. Again, we'll see what happens this year. My guess is by the time the El Nino hits and the floods are hitting and the levees are breaking and all the bad things are happening, state and federal recovery are just gonna be coming out of the Calaveras fire and the Lake fire. So that's gonna be taking up a lot of the resources into the season. As I said, SIMS background, East Bay Hills fire, negative impact. 25 people killed, including first responders, police, and fire, lots of problems. So again, we have a system in the Emergency Operations Center, Standardized Emergency Management System. We developed it to improve the way we flow of information. Emergency management is 96% communication and coordination. It's all about everybody talking to everybody about what we need. About 3.5% of emergency management is stuff. Stuff, because what do we need during disasters? Lots of stuff. And how we communicate and get that stuff, and about 0.5% of emergency management is ching-ching, money, getting the money back to you, getting it back to the residents of Discovery Bay. So that's why we have these systems in place. After September 11th, the federal government jumped in. They saw that we need to have a standardized system across the nation. Luckily for us, who did they go to? California. They kind of took what we did and improved on it a little bit, but for us it was really good. We did not need to do a lot of things. So the national and federal government works in a lot of ways now that we do here in the state of California. You don't need to use the standardized emergency management system in Discovery Bay. Don't need to use it at all. You want recovery money? Yeah, you gotta use it. So we use the standardized emergency management system. What's nice about it is everybody then does the same thing, whether it be cities, counties, we're all in the same the same boat when it comes to structure. Your everyday structure for every government organization is different, but when times of disaster, we all look the same. Every position does about the exact same thing. So it makes it fairly seamless for that communication. State agencies need to use the standardized emergency management system, just like the federal government needs to use their NIMS, but we need to use SIMS again for state government in California. As I said earlier, using SIMS gives us that response and recovery dollars. It gets you reimbursement for stuff that breaks. They get you reimbursement for overtime and extraordinary costs. You put in a claim to the state of California, the grant system, and they will work on getting you money. The state of California is pretty good when it comes to recovery. They want you to get money. Why? Because they skim about 15% off the top. So the more money you get, the more money they get. And they're really good about helping out with it. And they do a very, very good job. I said a lot of the stuff they're doing now is really between the FEMA and the state recovery. They're all up in Valley, the Valley Fire and Middle Town. So of the state system we have called SIMS that you are part of being a special district, we must use the incident command system in the field called ICS. That's what cops and firemen use. That's how they do very large events, ICS, whether it be a big accident, whether it be any an event that the sheriff's office would use for a barricaded suspect or something along those lines, they use ICS. We use something called the multi-agency coordination system. That's what just everybody talking. As I said, emergency management, 96% communication coordination. They make it all happen. The mutual aid program for fire, police, and other folks is in place. We're going to be working on some mutual aid stuff for you here in the district with other agencies, whether it be individual or through the WARN system, Water Agency Response Network, which is all the water agencies throughout the state of California. You have lots of friends available to help you when bad stuff happens. So we're going to work on getting that incorporated. Currently, I'm working on your emergency plan, and we'll have it in place to you probably about November 1st. So if and when the bad stuff happens, you have a plan in place. And your folks have been trained already and kind of know how to use it. So we're in really good shape when it comes to that. Lastly, it's called the operational area concept. You folks are in the Contra Costa County operational area. A county OES located on Glacier up in Martinez, responsible for helping all the other cities and special districts within the county, and also providing services, as you know, to unincorporated areas such as Discovery Bay. So that's where everything is coordinated at the county level. Again, incident command system going back, developed in the 1970s by Firestone. That came about because they had big wildfires in the Malibu area, lots of fire trucks and enough people to be able to command and control it. So using some of the things developed by the military back in Korea in World War II, they came upon the system they currently use now, the incident command system. It's now used throughout the nation and actually throughout the world for command and control of things. I do a big party once a year by the 100 people. I use ICS for that. Why? That way I don't have to do everything. It's all about delegation authority. It makes it all work. It's a great way. Everything is broken down by function. And again, that's very similar to the SIM system that's going to be working in the Emergency Operations Center we're doing over at the town office. Coordination, again, of interagencies is very, very critical for you folks to talk to other agencies, cities, towns, water, and other districts that are involved. Get on private sector, Red Cross, all the other folks who you potentially be using and working with to get the residents of Discovery back to normal again after the disaster, whatever that may be. And it just helps us with that response information. Mutual aid, again, for fire, police, emergency management, public works agencies are getting into it. Again, what you have for mostly the water response for you folks is related to the WARN system again. And it really works, and that's a good way of getting it done either through WARN or through the County Office of Emergency Services. There is a utilities desk at County OES, and I know Central SAM actually has somebody who's actually assigned there, so there are water utilities folks who would be assigned at the County OES to be helping and coordinating the response throughout the entire county when something bad would happen. That op area concept, as I said, that's the county and all political subdivisions, special district cities, etc. They coordinate all activities, figure out what's happening, and get the resources where they need them. the op area, the county is official conduit to the state of California that bring in state agencies to be able to assist. So the county has a very, very large role. They also assist in getting out county services such as health, some of the other things that are mandated by law that counties must do. So the county actually has a fairly large role in emergency management getting things done. In our SIMS system in California, we have different levels of emergency management. You folks deal with the two bottom ones, field and local level. Field is the on-scene tactical response to stuff happening. Again, that's the firefighters, the police officers. That's your folks, water, wastewater here in the field providing those services. They're the ones who get it done. They use incident command posts, they use the ICS system. When they need help, they bump up to the next level. Again, that's the local level, government level. That will be you folks. Special districts, again, make that all happen. Cities, they move it up. Op area, as I said earlier, that's the county political subdivisions. They coordinate, they make the request to the Regional Emergency Operations Center. Our state, REOC, is located in Walnut Creek. That used to be located in downtown Oakland, but they moved it out of downtown Oakland because of transportation-related issues. It's kind of hard to get in and out of downtown Oakland. So they went and moved to Walnut Creek. However, during a catastrophic event, they will co-locate our Regional Emergency Operations Center at the State Operations Center in Mather Deerfield, Sacramento, Rancho Cordova, where all the OES folks are. And that's where they're going to get the state folks in to be able to help the counties and the special districts and locals. So you see there's various levels. The state obviously is at the highest state emergency operations center, Mather Deerfield, as I said. That's the official conduit and the connection to the federal government, to FEMA, in a catastrophic event, let's say an earthquake that would strike the Bay Area. FEMA had the field office located at the State Operations Center where they would closely work with the state officials getting large groups of federal aid into the area here.
So that's just for Northern California, or is that for the entire
state? That's Northern California. Well, the whole state, Mather. The region here, Central Alaska is located in Mather as well, and Southern REOC is located in Los Alamitos in Orange County in Southern California. So we have three regions. And again, because we're just so big, again, with the feds, they come in and would help out there. Emergency management's all at the local level. What happens in Discovery Bay, you guys have it. You catch it, you clean it. That's really kind of how it works. You know, with the help of the Sheriff's Office and Fire, you folks together would be working on dealing with issues related in Discovery Bay. So it really pushes everything back down. And the Emergency Operations Center. We're putting together Emergency Operations Center for you folks in the conference table in the town office. That's going to be where all decisions are made and where things are going to be happening with Rick and his staff when they're going to be coordinating all the things that are happening in the field. The centralized emergency management system is broken up into what we call five different sections. They are management, that is the management of the organization. They give direction to the folks in the field. There's the operations section, those are the doers. We'll be talking about that in a minute, what most agencies have and how it relates to you folks in Discovery Bay. We have planning and intelligence, so they figure out what's going on, where are we going, what's happening. We have logistics. Logistics is at 3.5%. They're the stuff. They get stuff. And about 0.5% is finance. How are we going to pay for it? Nothing. Your opinion. 0.5% stuff, right? Because it's very, very critical to take care of the money related to stuff. Because stuff is expensive in times of disaster. Management, as I said, sets policy and direction for the organization, where they want to go. Management is in charge of the overall emergency response and working with the sections. A lot of emergency operations centers will have, you know, 10, 15, and 20 people. You guys have five. We are scaling your plan to totally fit you, and you know what? It's going to work just fine. It's going to be just fine. I'm very confident in your folks. Management in a larger EOC. Again, this is the role that Rick will take on. He's going to be having about five roles himself, if not more. But I'm confident he'll be able to do it as the Director of Emergency Services, EOC Director. Agency, again, liaison dealing with outside agencies, because you folks deal with a lot of outside agencies. We have public information, PIO. he'd be able to act as PO who does that. EOC coordinator, which we will not have, but that's someone who just kind of puts the EOC together. You don't necessarily need that, and nor do you have safety and security, you don't need that. So that's management's role. They're basically at the top figuring out what's going on. OTS, operations, police, fire, public works, coroner, search and rescue, care and shelter. They're the ones that are doers. They're the ones in the field. They're making things happen. In the emergency operations center, each one of those small boxes underneath, they coordinate their response via an operations section chief. In Discovery Bay, you have two branches. You've got your water, wastewater, and you have your recreation branch, because those are the two things that you folks do. So all of the coordination of those things are going to be happening within those two branches in operations. Not to mention anything else that you may happen to do to help the rest of the citizens, is keeping in mind you are a unique organization. And a lot of those things will fit into that operations center to do what's making it happen. So that's pretty, they're one of the busiest ones. Planning and intelligence. Planning and intelligence figures out what's going on, where are we going? What's happening within the town of Discovery Bay? Whether flooding issues, fire issues, what's happening during our disaster? Advanced planning, where are we going? What's happening in the future? Are things going to be changing, having to do with redevelopment and rebuilding and stuff? GIS, again, a component which works for you folks to get into your systems. Demobilization, we don't have. That's, you know, it's, we're great at mobilizing. We need, you know, things happen, are great. We mobilize great. But coming from law enforcement, you know, especially for me, we kind of suck at demobilizing. You have a plan to put your toys away, you know, so you have someone figuring out how the toys are getting put. And lastly, bringing in outside technical specialists for you folks, that could be important. Bringing in outside resources, structural engineers, other related type engineers related to a disaster. So that's very critical to do. So that's planning and intelligence. Kind of a hard job, trying to figure out what's going on and where are we going. And also documentation, keeping track of all the paperwork that's needed. Logistics stuff, dealing with communications, transportation issues, facilities. So their job is just getting in this stuff. We're working with your folks, making sure that happens. Sue's kind of stepping up to play on logistics. So how we're able to get things and all the things that you're going to be needing during times of disaster. So that's what logistics does. Lastly, finance and admin. He is up on that one, keeping track of our overtime, our times, our costs, the stuff we need to rent, keeping track of all that stuff. Because when it comes time for recovery, we need to be able to keep that all separate. Because we're going to put into the state government, federal government for some monies, we need to keep that separate. So as you see, this is different from what you do on a normal daily basis. It's all done by functionality. And the Emergency Operations Center in the county is looking that way. The plan I'm writing for City of Concord looks that way, the one I did for Central Sand looks that way. I'm writing a plan for Open Space District in the peninsula, theirs looks that way. Everybody's kind of looks the same, you know, we need different stuff. That way it's all across the board, we all know we're all doing perfect. Gonna finish up here, federal government, we love them, FEMA. September 11th, as I said, we have our new system in California across the nation to be dealing with it. Something called the National Response Framework, where they are coming in and going to be able to give assistance to local governments and state governments. We saw some of that, a lot of that in Sandy. We're seeing a lot of that now, right now, in South Carolina. Occurred in the Valley Fire, where FEMA's coming in and helping. And my guess, if El Nino does come through, and we have some limit breaks, and we have some real bad stuff happening up here, that we're going to see the federal government coming in. Luckily for us, when it comes to supplies, they do have a lot of things pre-positioned at the Travis Air Force Base at Moffett Field related to care and shelter and other related issues. So the federal government is a little bit farther ahead being able to help us on that. So they're doing a fairly good job. A lot of bad things came out because of Katrina, but they've all learned from it. As I said earlier, you see a little yellow explosion there at the bottom of the slide. The incident goes down to the bottom. It's yours. The higher you go, the more stuff and the more money they bring, but it's still up to you to be able to control it and keep charge of it. So it's difficult for smaller agencies to be able to do, but the system in there is really a good place to be able to help you and get there. Luckily, you have a lot of folks out there who want help, whether it be at the county level or the state level. And again, for your water-related stuff, for you folks, for your water programs, through water. What's your role in all of this? Help and recreation.
You don't have a role in the emergency operations center. Your role is to be the eyes and ears, find out what's happening with the folks, report back, come in and give support where you can in the emergency operations center. Help, again, act as been on to assist as a public information officer. We need to have, during times of disaster, you need to have a message all across the board. And clearly, it's very important for the board and the general manager to be on the same page and go out there and help him and help the rest of the staff get things done, whether that bring in coffee and donuts or whether it be going out there talking to folks. And he seems to be happy about that. There's some McDonald's stuff. But bringing in stuff to help them and just get the job done. Because again, if you think about it, you guys are all really kind of one family, and your job is to help the staff get the message out there and get things done. And talk to our supervisors, talk to other elected officials, talk to the folks out there to help Rick get the things that he needs to get the job done during the disaster. Should something really bad happen, then Rick has the authority under state law to declare a disaster. He's got 7 days to get that ratified. Again, sometimes you want to do that for extraordinary measures, not much related to gouging, other things. That's going to come from the voter supervisors, but other things related to getting things happening and getting things done after disaster. You have 7 days to get that ratified. The board has the authority, only has the authority to be able to do that, but in times of disaster, you can't really get together to make all that happen. So that authority goes to the general manager with ratification, as I said, in 7 days to make that occur. Goes up to the county and then to the state. And again, that when you declare a disaster, the county declares a disaster, that's when the state and federal government come in with a big McMahon check and say, here you go. So that's what you want. That's what you want to have. So that is about a 20-minute, quick, down and dirty emergency management show and tell. Again, it's a great system and it works really well, and I'm very happy to be able to work with Rick and Scott. Yes, sir.
Just to clarify, this program that's being developed for us is being developed to support the assets of the town of Discovery Bay, our facilities. It's not necessarily to support the community. That's right. Where the county comes in, and the County Office of Emergency Services provides the shelter, provides the support, provides the Red Cross, provides that backup. This is entirely to make sure that our assets, our treatment plants, our facilities, if there's a flood, for example, one of the generators goes down, or one of our backups over one of the plants, how do we deal with that? And one of the examples that Russ gave us a couple weeks ago was you've got 10 issues, but you can only deal with 5 of them. How do you deal with them? So that's what this plan will help us do. But it helps us with our facilities. The county has a very good program in place with respect to the community at large.
Or another place that would maybe come in where you would help, because part of your parks and recreation that you do,
yes,
that this facility would be a shelter or an evacuation shelter. You would be working with maybe the Red Cross directly. So there are certain elements that you would relate to that parks and recreation, that human element that you would be doing based on your part of the district. But Rick is correct that mostly it has to do with getting monies back and dealing with those issues as a special district. Questions?
I have one question. Communication noise. I'm taking an assumption, but I got to ask the question. I know police and fire have special channels and radios that they talk to. Do we have, or are we going to look at getting something that we can talk to them?
Tell them about the best idea you ever heard.
You had. The best idea is for you folks to be working off of the having the voting frequencies within. And the other, which is great, because everybody here has votes and they're able to talk. And the other one is that we're looking at is possibly getting what we call Aries Racies, which is the amateur radio. And maybe then I can work with the county, again, knowing a lot of the folks up at county, is maybe getting a Aries Racies. My assumption is somebody in Discovery Bay has to be an amateur radio person. And maybe getting them a setup somewhere.
The county already has it.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
But again, something for you guys to be able to talk, because it's all about communication, as I said. So if you can get someone to be able to come in and have a radio with the county office, just being able to talk, because when things go bad, you need to be able to communicate.
Well, where I was going is that on each fire truck, they've got call it Motorola.
Correct.
Why can't we have one of those in our office so that we could turn it on and get directly onto their channel?
It probably because you're not licensed for that.
Well, we make our license.
Yeah. So what are the things
emergency management?
Yeah, one of the things that we talked about, and I need to do some research on that, Santa Clara County Rifle Club, every emergency operations center has a low band radio. We're kind of talk. And I need to do some research to see if we can get you to be able to at least talk to the other emergency operations centers.
Right.
Not necessarily to the field. You want to be able to talk to...
Correct, man. Right. We don't need the truck.
We need
their operation.
And we're working. Yeah, we're working on
the whole line.
Yes, we are not. We're working on it.
Question.
Sure.
Standard operations.
Right. In terms of dealing with a local Discovery Bay emergency, this plan, you know, we're taking care of ourselves.
Yeah.
And we have to be able to take care of ourselves for so many days because you're not going to get help from anybody else. What if there's an event somewhere else that maybe we can help? Is there a mutual aid component in the plan where, you know, we can either give or receive mutual aid from the water districts or the sanitary districts?
And that's what we're working on. Is working on via Warren, and we're looking to do one directly next door requirement. But that might not be necessary because we may be able to do that directly through Cal Warren, which is a series. And so it's one phone call to Cal Warren, and they're in contact with all the other private companies and water agencies throughout the state of California. And you can just make that happen. That's an easy one.
But Director Lee, I met with Rick Gilmore, GM of BBIB, last week. We had a conversation. We're actually working on entering into a separate mutual aid agreement between the two of us for that exact reason. But the Warren program we're already part of as well. But this is something from a local. If we need something in a hurry or they need something in a hurry, we've got the assets and they've got
the assets. We're working on it. As a matter of fact, they want the training as well. They contacted me this morning. So we're going to try to get both agencies kind of on the same page. Any other questions or comments? All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
I guess the last question I have, approximately when would staff be totally on their own? When would your package and all that be completed?
We're going to have the plan to you at November 1st at the latest.
It'll probably be to you on November 21st for adoption.
Right. Well, and that's fine. And is there I guess there's a process in there where every... So much time goes by, we actually do a test once a year.
They'll send me once a year to come up, and we'll do an exercise minimally once a year to go through it. We've already done a winter storm exercise when I did the training, so we discussed a lot of winter storm things. And my guess is next spring or next summer, we'll come back and we'll do some other training and some updates for them. It's an ongoing process. This emergency plan is not like an engineer plan where you put it in the ground and it's done. These things are always changing, so it's an ever ongoing thing because life changes. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Russ.
Thank you, Rick.
Moving on to consent calendar.
Make a motion. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
We're going to business and action items. Odyssey of the Lion Teams utilizing community center through March 2016.
Good evening. I'm representing Amanda Dove and Odyssey of the Mine. There is currently 20 Odyssey of the Mine teams in Discovery Bay. All schools are represented. And 5 of those teams are in need of meeting places. So we're asking the community center to offer us meeting rooms for those 5 teams. And in lieu of the rental fees for Odyssey of the Mine rooms, we would like to offer the Town of Discovery Bay a community service project, where this project would be done by the Odyssey of Mine kids and parents that use your facility. Our kids and teams have decided that they think the community center needs some dog park structures, and we have a few examples. We would like to build 2 of these structures. These structures would be movable, all weather durable structures that our dogs in our community can enjoy for years to come. This project would be done in the spring of 2016 after the teams have competed in their competitions. Thank you for your consideration.
Chair,
any questions?
Yeah.
Thank you. Mr. President, members of the board, public. Yes, thank you for coming this evening and giving that information. As the board is aware, Amanda did come before the last meeting and did request to the board that we provide the use of the discovery room classroom Monday through Thursday, 4 days a week, through I believe it's about mid-March, if I'm not mistaken, excluding certain school holidays and breaks. In exchange for the rental fees, the board asked that they go back and come up with some concepts, possibly as a community service type of a program. And this is one that Amanda presented to me last week, and I thought it was a good idea. I thought it was some good suggestion. It'd be nice to have some additional items out there in the dog park. So staff is just looking for direction from the board at this point in time and moving it forward. And if the board just chooses to do this, we would certainly be happy to work with the different groups.
I think it's a great idea. But the only question I have is the use of that room 4 days a week through March, does it interfere with anything else that we use the room for?
They have agreed that if there is an interference, which there will definitely be some, that they're going to have to adjust their schedule or adjust their meeting location within the facility. They may need to meet in the exercise room or out in the library. It might not be in a private room. It may be in here. So if we do have a situation where we do need to have access to that room where it's already pre-rented, or we have a meeting that we need to have, they will be taking second, and they'll get a different location.
Yeah, Monica was sending out dates already where it's already booked and holidays, and so we definitely work around. Your meetings obviously have priority.
Yeah.
So we would work out a schedule.
And they will clean that up for themselves and so expensive.
We will make sure that that's part of the program.
Yes, I think it's a wonderful idea. So the parents and associated group they're going to fund the parts and pieces that need to be done. They're going to provide the labor. They're going to do
yes.
All of this. Approximately how long, once if we went ahead with this, would it take to construct that?
So we were proposing to start after their competition in March.
Right.
And probably give them like a month to work on it. We have three ideas: a bridge, jumping hoop, and crawl tunnel. So we'd let the board decide what you think would be the best option, and then have our kids to work on building these.
Okay.
So hopefully before summer they would be in place.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a great idea. Yeah, I think it's a great idea too. Thank you.
Just looking for a recommendation.
Okay, thank you.
But you're looking for is, you want us to pick two out of the three?
I would like to, and I have pictures so I can see
them. No, we've got them here. Yeah,
okay.
I don't have a dog, so I don't know what a dog's like. It looks like one walking up and down. Ramp thing looks nice to me, and the hoop thing looks pretty good. I don't know if it sounds better.
You know, look, let me do this. Look, you know, one thing we can do is, since we have a certain group that goes out and uses it on a regular basis, maybe we can survey the dog owners that use it and see what they would prefer, and come back with, to the parent groups a little bit later in the year.
Just come back to the subcommittee.
Yeah, come back to the subcommittee. Yeah.
Would you be if the survey takes place and maybe there's a consensus of something it's not one of these three, but not that much more complicated to do. You'll be open to.
Oh yeah, we'll be open to anything as long as it's not too complicated for them to build.
All right.
Okay. We appreciate it. Thank you.
In action.
So you make any recommendation?
It's a great motion.
Any public comment? Public comment.
I hope that we allow the usage of the community center for the Odyssey of the Mind group, and in consideration for that, the group will build, purchase, and supply the labor for dog park accessory items.
A second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you. Moving on to item two, award of the bid for the wastewater treatment plant number two equipment cover to McFadden in the amount of $192,902.
Oh, here we go. Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. The item before you this evening is an item that has been discussed before this board annually since 2009. This is the first year that it made it actually into the budget and onto and into the CIP. It was actually last fiscal year made under the budget, but it wasn't moved forward at that point due to other projects that were in place or that were in play. We went to bid on the project recently. There were two bids that were received, one from Vatic Construction at $192,900 and Anderson Pacific at $286,900. The project budget is $200,000. With design and engineering, that is estimated to be a little bit more than $200,000 to $228,000. Staff is recommending moving this item forward this evening. Greg Harris, project engineer on this, is here to go through the bid process and the bid numbers. If you go down onto page, my iPad just froze up. 57, thank you. He can go through the different line items. We discussed these pretty much in depth on Monday afternoon. And so he can go ahead and give the breakdown of why there was such a disparity in the numbers between the two bidders.
Yes, so Gregory Harris, Urban Engineering, District Engineer. It was a little surprise to see the spread on the bids. Anderson Pacific is the current on-site contractor for the secondary clarifier and oxidation ditch project. So we expected a little tighter bid out of them, but because they're on site and we've been working with them for the last 15 months, we know them pretty well, and we were able to go over the bid with them. There really are two items that where the real money is. If everything else is really quite tight, but item number six was the concrete footing, and the long and short of it is I confirmed their quantities. Both people had the right quantities. But one person was at $700 a yard, and Anderson Pacific was at $2,000 a yard for concrete. And so I asked him why, since I've never seen a price that high for concrete, especially for a foot. I mean, you're just talking about, you know, trenching and pouring it in. And then the answer was, hey, we lost our butt on this clarifier, and, you know, we don't want to get killed on a concrete job. So, on the building, the $20,000 difference is they were hiring a sub to build it and then marking up the sub, and McFadden was assembling the sub. So other than that, you can see the bids are very close together, item by item. And the engineer's estimate was $200,000 for construction. So it's right in there, I think, the construction cost we expected. And the project cost is slightly over what was in the CIP. So given the length of time we spent trying to put this thing up since 2009, I don't think you're getting any cheaper. Let's put that one. I think this is where it's at.
I like to point out also that the original plan for this was that it would be attached to the existing building on the south side of the existing building, and that just proved to be completely insufficient to accommodate the equipment that we would like to place in there. And I'd like to point out that just last week we spent almost $5,000 replacing the rubber hoses on the back truck, those big, huge, thick rubber hoses, due to deterioration in large part because of the elements in their being outside.
I have a question on the building. I'm taking another assumption that on I-8 installation of metal building that does include the structure, that's the labor and the structure.
Yeah, so that's the purchase. That's the purchase of the building and assembly. So purchase and assembly. And the building is as bare bones as we can make it. So in terms of square footage, the structure is approximately 20 feet tall at the roof line. We took up and we counted up all the equipment that we have sitting outside in the yard and just gave it space in the building and brought it in. It's around 3,000, 4,000 square feet. And it's just straight bare metal. And we cut the concrete back so that we're good at concrete footings and rock floor. And there's no there's large bay openings, but we held off on the doors so that we could, you know, essentially give the bare minimum cover up that will, you know, do a good job, house the equipment, and then, you know, down the road, if they want to add doors or they want to add a concrete floor, things like that.
I don't have a question, just so if I'm not here, some future board has to wrestle with it. What do you think the dollar sits on today's dollar, not the future dollar, it will take to put a concrete floor? And also, and the second item, to electrify it so we've got some lights for night in case something gets called out in the middle of the night, we have some lights.
The reason there's no electrical to it now is there's no convenient electrical without a lot of expense. However, that is being changed when we build a filter project. The filters are right next to this building, and there's a new electrical service for that. So on that filter project, we're extending a little stub so that electricity can come to this building, like more economically, you know, per se. So getting the lights up, you know, in a year or so, you know, actually after we build the filter project or during the filter project, won't be too expensive, maybe $5,000, you know, something like that. Concrete floor, it's a big building. Actually, I was off on the square foot. I think it's around 6,000 square foot space. And so that's a lot of concrete, and I suspect you wouldn't do it all at once because, you know, just parking a back truck. I mean, if it's rock and it's underneath the cover and it doesn't rain on it, you know, that'll be fine to park the vehicle on. If you someday start doing maintenance in there, you might take one or two bays at a time and say we're going to make that a maintenance bay, if that's the case, and then just put that floor in. But, you know, garage flooring for a house is, you know, $6,000, $10,000, something like that. And this is much bigger than your garage in your house with the number of bays that you have. So it could be $100,000 if you said, let's do the whole concrete floor. You know, the doors are like $10,000 a piece, and there's six or seven bays. So, you know, adding doors and concrete and stuff. I mean, if this was a full building, a complete building, it's $500,000.
Craig, what if you did AC versus concrete on the decking, the flooring?
On the floor, you could do that. It's a little harder to put AC once you put a building up, but you could do that if that was desired. It really depends on what you want to do on it. You know, the concrete, like if you're parking vehicles and different, you know, and doing things like that, this concrete's more desirable, but you could do AC, it would be less expensive than the concrete.
I hadn't really thought through the whole process, and I think your comment about doing a section at a time as needed for whatever special purpose makes sense.
Yeah, right. It's like, it isn't all or nothing. You know, you have six or seven bays, and as they need something special, you can address it at that time, at that cost, at that time for the purpose.
What's the finish on this? What's the gauge of the steel?
Yeah, it's the steel is 18 gauge, and it's a Kynar finish, and it's going to look just like our other buildings out there. They're the white buildings, the little tiny white buildings that are out there. You know, that's what it'll look like.
When are you about to paint it next?
A factory applied Kynar finish is a 20-year
finish.
20-year finish, okay. And frankly, all it does is fade a little bit unless you do something to it. So unless you scratch it intentionally or running through it or something, it's a life of the finish. It just might fade after a while.
So standard engineered panels.
Yeah, this is standard engineered metal building. Yeah.
Thank you. Any further comments? Discussion? Come on, Mark.
We're going to put your name on it.
Mark, let me just voice my objection one last time to the largest waste of ratepayers' money I've ever seen in the history of Discovery Bay. I'm done. Thank you.
All right, any public comment? No public comment. All right, move on.
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Thank you. Item 3, recirculated draft environmental impact report and environmental impact statement for the Bay Delta Conservation Plan.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. I'm going to turn this over to to Rod real quickly. This item was requested, I believe, by director lead about a month, 6 weeks ago. And it's coming back before you as a letter, it's a draft letter. And so I'll let Rod go ahead and go through the specifics on that.
And watch me just pass the buck and I'll pass it on to Curtis. Curtis is here for this purpose as well, as he drafted the letter with my review. It is similar to the letter that we have drafted before regarding the tunnels and regarding this California Water Fix Bay Delta issue. The letter is self-explanatory. We think we've got all of the issues in it raised that might be of concern to you. If there are other comments or other issues that you would like included, or that we think we've missed something or not detailed one of the items specifically enough, we will take note of it and draft it again. Otherwise, this letter is, in our opinion, ready to be sent. Happy to answer any questions or have Curtis answer questions.
I just say I'm very pleased with the letter. I think we should get this out as quickly as possible and stay on top of this issue, because I think there's going to be probably more follow-ups as we get responses back to those. I think there's going to be a multitude of letters coming in on this issue.
Yeah, the deadline for it is October 30th is their deadline. There's already been comments submitted. There was a large one submitted today. They had an opportunity to review it, and I think we've covered some of the similar areas. I mean, everybody and their brother is going to be commenting on this, so we will be amongst the crowd.
I'd like to comment also. I did read it, and I think it addresses all the points that we're really interested and concerned about, not only us, but our neighbors as well. So I think it's a well-written letter, and I hope it will go to as many elected in districts and whoever else you can make the list as long as we can.
Do you want all five of you to sign the letter? So you at all, when it's ready to go, we'll call you all in and sign it?
I think that would be a good idea. I think it shows a little more camaraderie and a little more seriousness about
it. You've done that previously, so that's not out of the ordinary for this board.
No, I'm good, thanks.
And we will CC the world on this, right?
Yes, it goes to senators, all the supervisors, surrounding communities. It will go to everybody so they can see that we're sending it. And then it actually gets published to the State Clearinghouse, and the BDC Green Process will put it out to the world as well. So.
Also to the local newspapers and on our website.
Yeah, I think it hits all our points. Let's get there and see yours. We're going to get it out to as many people as we can. Any other comments? Any public comment? No public comment? Make a motion?
Move that we send the letter out to all the respective parties. Interested and uninterested parties.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Informational items.
Dean is going to give a presentation to the board and the public regarding our fiscal year-end budget and finances. Unfortunately, the device battery dying, so she's going to go through a lot quicker than she intended on. So sorry. Have at it, Dean.
Okay. Town of Discovery Bay, fiscal year 2014-15,
end
of year financial review. Okay. So this is our budget overview. Our budgeted actuals for O&M were $5.1 million. Our actuals were $4.6 million. Debt service was we budgeted $827,000. We came in at $826,000. We thought we would contribute to reserves $82,000. We actually contributed about $407,000. There's a reason for that. I'll show you those slides. Capital budget, we budgeted $6.251 million. Our capital budget came in as actuals as $6 million. Infrastructure replacement stays the same. We always budget $525,000 and we try to get that in. Our total expense budget, we budgeted $12.8 million. We came in at $12.5 million revenue equals. Our budgeted revenue here shows 12.871 from 18. Our actual revenue came in at $12,507,515. Our variance budget was a negative $363,500. The key factors of the variance are CIP, but money budgeted for the developer projects were not started. The grant was not issued for the reclaimed water project, and drought reduced water and sewer revenue. Our reserves, some of our reserves drawdown were $184,000 for water and wastewater, CIP project 51, well centered overages. We drew down $27,000 for facilities and vehicle replacement for our F-250 4x4. We also drew down $40,000 from water infrastructure replacement fund for national meter Orion readers. Operation and maintenance budget. Operation and maintenance budget, you can see the graph. Our budget was $6 million. Our actuals came in at $5.5 million. Some of the key factors of variance, we were under budget in consulting services. We kind of over-projected due to the projects that were what were happening. Preventive and corrective, we over-projected repairs and maintenance. And annual audit, we did not receive our billing for accounting services in each fiscal year. We were over budget in general repairs. We had major water leaks this year, so we had a lot of water leaks. Info system maintenance, that's kind of one of the things we go over budget quite a bit, is our IT. Insurance liability was over budget. We increased coverage due to our new equipment and plan for our plant upgrades. Capital improvement budget versus actuals. Our capital improvement projects, our budget was $6.7 million. Our actual came in at $6.5 million. M&L 8 reserves. Contributions for Zone 9, we put in revenues exceeded expenses by $38,000. So we actually added that into our annual contribution. We drew down, our drawdown was zoning expenses for element 8 for the community center. The combined were less than revenue generated by the zone. We actually only took out less than $1,000 out of our reserves for zone 8. We were going to take out the tennis court, but we ended up bringing in enough revenue to cover that, so I didn't take out anything from there.
So the only cost
and we still have
and eight community center together, yes.
And we still have about $65,000 in grant funds from outside.
Sort of rain under parade.
I know, right? Okay. So our revenue, our budget versus actuals for lighting and landscaping zone 8, our budget, we budgeted $607,000. Our actuals came in at $589,000. The key factors for this variant were zone 8 did not receive the grant money for the tennis court resurfacing project or the pool project. The funds should be received this fiscal year,
15-16. But if we didn't receive the money, how does that explain a lower actual over budget? It should be the other way around.
Our revenues far exceeded our expectations.
Okay. So our O&M and our capital improvement for zone 8. Our budget for O&M was $305,000. Our actuals came in at $280,000. For our budget for our capital improvements, $161,000. We actually used $400,000. We really didn't do the building improvements and the parks projects that were planned. Revenue for the community center, Fargo Wells, I think we budgeted about $48,000. Farron and I budgeted $78,000, and our actuals were $120,000. So we definitely exceeded our revenue there. So that's a very good thing. Community Center Zone 8, our budget, we budgeted $295,000, or actually for $275,000, so we saved some money there on our O&M. Our capital improvement budget, we budgeted $115,000, but our actuals were $149,000, mainly due to a little bit of the dog park, which we didn't budget, and then the tennis court resurfacing cost, but we budgeted. Lighting and Landscaping Zone 9, we budgeted for revenue $123,000. We brought in $131,000.
Landscaping Zone 9, O&M. We budgeted $111,000. Our actuals were $93,000. For capital improvements, we budgeted $7,000. Our actuals were $2,000.
Some of the revenues, for example, like the dog park, we raised revenues. There was no district contribution, and while we have to pay the bills, we have offsetting revenues to offset those. The money coming in from the Measure WW will eventually hit, and when that hits, that'll be a revenue adjustment to this current fiscal year when that hits. The biggest reasons why we had the revenue increases, the increased revenues in Zone 8, was in large part because of property taxes, but also our revenues for the use of this facility exceeded our estimates by about $25,000. So that was really great. In the fact that we didn't have to hit reserves for the community center, we did in Zone 8, but for the community center, it was really a great thing. And I think that's, a lot of that was we had some vacancies, personnel vacancy for part of the year, which helped keep some of those numbers down. But in the end, I think that we're getting a better grasp on it.
Yeah, on some of the projects that we had budgeted past year, but we didn't actually do those, or I'm assuming that we're going to be doing them this year.
The Zone 8 projects, I'm not sure that we had that many capital projects in Zone 8 last year to do. So there weren't really very many of them to do. The capital projects were really the ones that were here, the tennis court and the pool resurfacing, other than some small item ones. The CIP for Zone 8 was relatively minimal at most last year. I have to take a look at the budget to see what they were. But there weren't very many, because if you recall a year ago when we brought it landscaping in-house, one of the comments was that we would be having to put some of our capital CIPs on the shelf for a period of time, and so that's really what took place last year. We're in a strictly in a maintenance function and repair mode for Zone 8.
I'm assuming for the rest of the town, it's the same thing. We'll have a few more of those types. What I saw up there, we had budgeted a fair amount, and we didn't hardly spend any of which is fine. But are we going to have to spend it again this year?
A perfect example is an item you just approved. That item is budgeted last year. We carried it over to this year. So that's a perfect example of the $200,000 item that got carried over. Lift Station G, I believe, is another one that's going forward right now also. So certain projects, just last year with all the projects we were working on, we just didn't get to them. We were moving forward with them, and construction is taking place now.
No care.
Thank you for the update on that.
I'd like to first thank staff for that presentation. I think it was very easy to understand. I think the general public, I wish we were more here, was able to comprehend what's going on. The finances are usually a very convoluted thing in the public sector because they don't keep their books the same way a private sector does. So I think staff made a very, very nice presentation, very easy to understand. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, moving on. We update.
I just wanted to give the board an update. It's been about 6 months since we entered into that agreement with Delta Seaweed Removal. We did have one issue that was our issue. One of our pipes broke to our wetlands project, which ended up flooding out the area that they leased from us. It caused them some financial hardship. They filed a claim for lost business. That claim was denied by our legal department, and do not know if they're going to be pushing that forward to the board or not. It was relatively small, but at the end of the day, it was caused by us, but it was not due to any negligence, and therefore the agreement specifically calls that out, and Rod can address that. But from an overall project standpoint, we have had absolutely zero issues at all over there. They've been doing what they've said they've been doing. They've been tilling it, road tilling, and turning it over. And I believe he's getting ready to call in the dumpster here pretty soon to get rid of few things that he's picked up and pulled out of the water over the last 4 or 5, 6 months.
What was the monetary amount of that?
Well, they requested $1,500. It was a quote. I know it happened. I know that they did lose because I was told. They lost a full weekend's worth of work because they couldn't work for an entire weekend at the busiest time of the season. So it was an unfortunate situation. The pipe broke. It's been subsequently repaired, but it just came at a very bad time for them.
And if I can, just for the record, they hadn't actually filed a claim. What they did is they sent in a request that told us that, hey, it was a problem. We reviewed the asked Rick to send it to legal. We reviewed the contract. We drafted a letter based on the contract. The contract doesn't allow for any kind of recovery for loss of space, loss of work, loss of time. The contract's very clear and very specific with respect to that issue, so we responded in that manner. But there isn't a claim at this point in time. If there is a claim, we'll bring it back to you.
One more point. I have excluded myself from any participation in this due to the fact that Matt is my next-door neighbor, and I know him fairly well, and I have had Rod handle that situation, and the letter that went back to them indicated that in as much.
All right. Thank you very much for the update. Any
director's
comments? Any director's comments?
I'm good.
All right. I'll just say that the CSDA meeting was, a lot of good information going on there, Rick, at the CSDA in Monterey. It was good. Any manager reports, discussion, possible?
None this evening.
All right, thank you. Legal?
Nothing further.
All right, thank you. Any updates on subcommittees?
Finance committees met twice, once last week, once again this afternoon. Parks and Recreation Committee was supposed to meet today. We pushed them back to tomorrow. Water and wastewater, there was no meeting in September due to the CSDA conference. However, Directors Pease and Graves will be meeting this evening with our district engineer and myself on one item. And that is it.
All right, thank you. So we have some correspondence and discussion. No discussion. Any public records requests?
No, but I do. I'm going to ask you about the general manager. I have a request of you to schedule a special meeting. I know that some of you are going to be gone. I know that one board member is gone next week, and I need to get an item before you relatively quickly. I was planning on scheduling it for October 21st, but that's not going to work. It would be desirable if all five of you were here. The subject matter is the classification and compensation study. The consultant would like to be able to provide to you the list of all the comparable agencies so they can start doing their work. And that's something that the board authorizes, that you make the decisions to include this group or not include that group. I'd like to do that. It's going to be very difficult due to the fact that three of you are going to be gone consecutive weeks. So I don't know what your pleasure would be.
Can you schedule all the line?
So, didn't we offer the 14th of October?
Director Graves is going to be out of town that week.
Why aren't we having it before the board meeting on the 21st?
Director Lee is going to be out of town that one, and Director Simon is going to be out of town the November 4th meeting.
And the entire weeks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it's something that I'd like to try and schedule. I'll do it at your direction. If you want me to work with a consultant, make some selections, and work them through the finance committee, that might be an option, and then come back to you for ratification later.
We should try and do this as a board. Okay. Let's try and find a time that we can do this as a board.
28th doesn't work.
28th is. Are you back on the 28th?
He's not back.
No, I'm not back. When do you?
It won't be ready. She won't be ready by Friday.
You're gone for 2 weeks.
He's gone from the 15th to the 29th. 15th to 29th.
All right, I'm 12th. Monday the 12th.
I'll leave Friday night.
Oh.
Good night.
Oh, you're leaving Friday night. Did you say Friday night?
I'm sorry, I leave Friday morning at 7 a.m.
And when are you back?
I get back on the 16th, about 1 week.
Oh. Okay. You're not going to see, I'm not leaving on the 30th, but sure. Bob, you're leaving on the 15th.
Oh. You don't have to just keep on the 21st, I just want to.
You just kicked it off.
Oh, I think both about it.
Yeah. I was planning on scheduling for the 21st, but I think it's important for the entire board to weigh in. It's up to you. I mean, if you, if one of you...
I'm going to be out on that meeting, but I have no problem with the other four of you can make it.
What meeting are you going to miss?
21st.
Well, so is...
I'm gone.
So you're not here.
Oh, you're not here.
Both of you are gone.
You have both
on the list going to be ready.
We were planning on doing it the 21st, so I'm not sure how far ahead she is. We just met with her last week.
21st, and that's going to take some time.
Well, no, I can probably get her. I'm sure I can accelerate that. I just don't know.
Get it Monday. Give us a couple weeks to look at it.
We have to get us on the 14th is a Friday. I'm gone. It would have to be an early day because I'm gone.
14th is Wednesday.
It is?
Yeah.
It must be.
Oh, October. October.
Yeah.
I think November. Can you do the 14th?
I'm good.
Bob, can you do the 14th? Chris? Sometime on time, maybe?
Kevin's out.
Kevin, will you be on the 14th?
No, I leave the 9th and I come back on the 16th. I'm only going for a week.
Do you care if the four of us discuss this?
We have two finance people.
Why don't we give input to the finance committee?
And because the board should be involved in it. That's really the only day we can do it, I think.
All you're doing is selecting the agents.
You're
not coming up with any decisions on data.
True.
Just where are they going to look for data?
I'm comfortable with the finance committee can meet on the 14th and make a recommendation as to what to look at.
Okay, is okay with you?
It's the board's preference. It's not mine.
What's the decision?
That's good.
Recommendation.
Defer to the finance committee.
Because they could meet That's on fine. The 14th and then bring, we'd have a list of, I think with Bob.
But when are we going to, but when are we going to as a board review that?
Ratify that list.
Well, the list, we would let the finance committee do the list.
Do it on the 21st then. And then do it on the 21st.
Cover recommendation on the 21st.
You
still aren't going to be here on the 21st. Oh, but if you already made the recommendation, what do you care? Yeah.
I'll make the recommendation so you can decide what you want to do with it.
The one thing that is beneficial in this is that we're just selecting agencies to include.
Yeah.
If the board comes back later, you can always exclude one.
I suggest that we just have a finance committee figure out this suggestion.
So we're going to decide on
I'll schedule. I'll get what you guys
said. So there's no board meeting on the 14th?
No. We'll just schedule as a finance committee. Yep.
All right. Thank you. All right. That's it. So any public records requests?
Yes.
All right. I get an answer. Future agenda items.
Yeah, I have one. I brought one forward and I see it on the forecast for a discussion, a closed session with the Hoffman discussion. And I'm not going to be available on the 21st. I'd like to see if we could move that forward to November, our meeting on November
18th. I won't be here on the 18th.
In November?
No, I just got called into a HERF, speaking of Sims, I just got called into a HERF simulation, tabletop down at Camp Robertson from the 15th to the 19th of November.
Just keeps kicking again.
I need to be there.
Yeah, I agree.
How soon
do you want to?
When are you back here?
It's just a 4-day. It's 15 to 19.
I've been dealing with Hoffman and they've been promising day by day. I'm getting something. I said I've gotten it. The draft of the proposal of a working agreement. If it drags to the first meeting in December, it's dragged this long, it's probably
if need be, once we're all in town, Devin gets back, we could do a special meeting on it or something.
It's a closed session anyway.
Yeah, it is, but I think the board needs to be involved early enough so that things don't get too far down the road that we're not comfortable with the way that they're going. I think that this board needs to give staff direction in their communications so we're happy with the end result. And I have no idea where we're at.
So let's move it into November?
Well, no,
or December.
Or December.
Or whatever. Whenever you're all five together.
Any other agenda items? All right, at this time I'd like to adjourn.